The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
DC legislation is often like an iceberg. You can only see about 15% of it. There's always about 85% you can't see. You know that about icebergs, right?
Yeah, you only see the top.
Right, you only see the top.
2%.
You're like, oh, it's
underneath,
it's
a gargantuan.
It's a good size iceberg, but it's not, oh my God, there's 7/8 of it.
Yeah.
That's usually about what it is, about 7/8 under the water. That's D.C. legislation. You're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I kind of like it and I don't like. Holy crud, what's all this stuff?
Yeah.
Right. And often you don't see it until after
they pass it.
The Titanic is going down right. And you're freezing in the North Atlantic.
That's when you realize you've been stuck with Obamacare.
Yeah, you don't find out before you're like, oh, there's a huge iceberg. Maybe we steer around it. It looks like only a little bit, but there's a bunch under the water. No, no. You're Leonardo DiCaprio. She's up on the door. You're dead. That's what's going on.
They could have shared that door.
Right, am I right?
That whole scene drives me crazy.
Stupid thing. How come she was on the door
exactly.
Anyways? He
and
couldn't be on the door?
She took the whole thing up. They could have shared or taken turns.
And she could have gotten on the stupid life raft when he put her there, remember?
That's right.
Anyways, back to the legislation. They passed a spending bill, and now Donald Trump has proposed a budget. And there's a lot of stuff under the water that you can't see that is ready to wreck your ship.
All right, hit me.
Well, first of all, in the spending bill, here's some of the lesser known things in the spending bill. Remember, this is a spending bill. When I think spending bill, I think a bill that has to do with spending.
Details, I mean, right? On what they will spend the money on.
Right. Okay, here's $14 for this. Here's $400 billion for that. Stuff mm-hmm. like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have protections for medical marijuana in it.
Protections? What?
Well, first of all, let me just say I advocate the legalization of all drugs because you ought to be able to decide. I don't want to clean up the messes. It's your choice, your personal choice, but it's also your responsibility. So I certainly support medical marijuana use. Having said that, I still think it's asinine that this is part of a spending bill. Here it is. The bill blocks the Department of Justice. Spending bill.
Okay.
The bill blocks the Department of Justice from spending money to prevent states from implementing their own laws that authorize the use, distribution, cultivation, possession of medical marijuana. So it says, okay, Department of Justice, when enforcing the federal marijuana laws.
Which is illegal federally.
Right. In fact, it's a class A drug. It's higher on the list than cocaine.
Which is ridiculous.
I know.
But okay.
It says you cannot spend any of this money in our bill to...
And this is federally budgeted money to the states.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, this is just federal funding for everything. Everything is federal. It says, Department of Justice, the money we're giving you as part of the spending bill, you can't use any of it to prevent states from implementing medical marijuana possession,
right. So you can't
supply
stop
whatever
medical marijuana usage.
Not with our money.
Not with our money.
Which means it's a de facto law. If you don't want the Department of Justice going out, then tell the Department of Justice in a bill signed by the president.
Don't enforce this law.
Right.
So you basically, it's kind of a way around legalizing it.
Right. Well, it's...
for medical use anyway.
Right. Exactly. Go out and do it. Have the balls to do it one way or the other.
It's ridiculous.
But, and it doesn't matter whether or not you like the idea of medical marijuana or other marijuana. It's nothing to do with it. The point is, they're manipulating the system, and instead of passing a law, they're saying, let's go ahead and use money and where it can be spent to legislate.
Why? Why the...
This is the equivalent of the court legislating,
yeah,
in my mind.
Why not just do it that way? I don't get it. Why?
Well, there is this. So you have Jeff Sessions, who has said he will crack down on recreational, non-medical use. Right. He's going to go after it. Obama was really lax on it because the guy liked to puff up and snort coke in college. So he's going to have kind of a lackadaisical, laissez-faire attitude about people with the ganj.
You think he smoked some in the White House? He took a hit.
Guarantee you, this is just my belief, okay, but I would bet all that I have that SOB has taken a couple of hits off the joint in the last 8 years or so.
I would agree.
Not saying he did it in the White House, but I'm saying he did it in the White House. Anyway, so Jeff Sessions going to crack down on it. Obama was kind of laissez-faire about it. Well, they want this to prevent Jeff Sessions from going after the medical portion, basically.
Which he said he wasn't, right? He was
right.
More recreational.
Right, exactly. But this is Congress doing that. Instead of saying, hey, we're going to pass a law that says Jeff Sessions can't or Trump. And
just legal.
Right. That was in the spending bill.
How much do you think that cost?
It's got to be money. Just absolutely. Then there's an emergency fund for infectious diseases. At least it's spending. But an emergency fund for infectious diseases.
For treatment or for...
Well, they've been trying to set up this special fund for things like Ebola and Zika and other of the... They call them in the bill emerging global threats. Okay, that's serious. And by the way, so we got pretty lucky on Ebola and Zika so far, right?
For the most part.
We've had some scares and some certain people have suffered.
These things all of a sudden come out, everybody freaks out, and they talk about it nonstop, and then it just disappears. Does that mean they nobody's infected anymore?
It just wasn't as bad as they thought, but it could have gotten bad. And it's only a matter of time before one of these does hit America big,
right,
or tens of thousands die.
But it just goes to show you the way the media covers it. It's just like, oh my God, we're all gonna die from Zika and Ebola. And then nothing.
Nothing happened. Well, yeah.
It's all they talk about for like a month.
It's like the snowstorms. Yeah. Right?
It's coming.
It's coming and then
we're
doesn't.
We're all going to die.
But every once in a while, the snowstorm comes and they were legit. And they're like, see, we saved lives. Damn it. So there's going to be some other whatever. So they've been trying to set up this fund for a while. And what they want this fund to do is be able to go after these threats and nip them before they get crazy. So they want it to be funding, but they want to have flexibility to be able to quickly just stop stuff in a lot of different ways.
Is that because when they did happen, there wasn't a fast enough response?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And it has to be they have to have flexibility to say, we know we can do it, but we got to be able to spend here without getting
less
all the
red
approval.
Tape, basically.
Okay, I'll give you that. This bill set aside $75 million for that.
Which is like a drop in the bucket compared to
other things. But $75 million to go after, what do you need to do in a response to something like this?
I'm guessing like quarantines, get some biologists in a lab to cook up an anti-vaccine.
Seems like a lot of money, but maybe not, right? Maybe it's not.
I'm so, like, when it comes to the money nowadays, I'm so, I guess, jaded because they throw out numbers like billions.
Right, you can't count them.
500 million for like a socket wrench. I don't even know what costs what anymore.
Maybe 75 million is reasonable, but the thing is,
I would even say it kind of sounds low just by the numbers.
Well, this is the down payment. That's the point.
Oh, okay.
This, according to them, will do virtually nothing. This is step one.
Okay.
So all they're doing is using the $75 million to kind of set up the fund, and we are going to spend much, much more dumping it into this. It's going to allow the State Department to be able to also shift additional funds from other accounts in an emergency.
Okay.
So that's in the spending bill.
Is that like kind of in – there's no real set number?
No, the bill actually lays out $75 million. Right, it's going to be more in the future.
That just doesn't say how much more.
No.
Oh.
No, they're just going to keep – this is going to be a place they can hide money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also in the spending bill, Golden Crab. Golden crab.
Golden crab, like
that. Identifying and renaming golden crabs.
Like literal golden crabs?
Crabs, like the
species
sea creature.
Of golden crabs.
Well, they're now golden crabs. They used to be the brown crab.
And this is in the spending bill? They're going to spend money to identify and rename it?
They're renaming it. It used to be the brown king crab, but they said, you know what? It just doesn't sound very edible and appealing. It's not good marketing. Chris or Cal, do you want a brown crab or do you want a golden crab?
I guess if we're going to talk about appetite, yeah, golden sounds more. But what does that have to do with the U.S. budget spending bill?
Here's what's interesting. So Donald Trump is trying to rebrand the brown crab at the behest of the crab fishermen and others, saying this is going to help us sell more of the brown crabs because they're not going to be brown crabs. They're going to be golden crabs. So they're going to rebrand it. What happened was, in the past, this particular type of crab, I'm not even going to try to give you the scientific name, was only allowed by the FDA to be labeled as a brown king crab. But everybody locally and the fishermen call them the golden crab, and they think that's a better marketing name. But the FDA said you couldn't sell them as a golden crab because that's not a golden crab. We call it a brown crab.
Okay.
So they think by renaming it and mandating this in the spending bill.
So everyone has to call it a golden crab.
Well, you can officially call your crabs golden crabs. It's going to do better for the market. They're going to be able to sell more of them. And it'll help the economy.
Okay, that's where we're heading after all that? That's what their point is?
Yeah.
What? I don't
They'll sell more
they...
crabs. There'll be more fishermen, more jobs, more stimulating of the economy. Right. So golden crabs will stimulate the economy. Brown crabs will not.
It sounds like, you know, when you get STD, the crabs.
Yeah, I see what you have to do then.
Sounds a lot better. You got golden crabs.
Golden crabs or whatever. It's horrible. Honey, I'm sorry. I've got to tell you, I've got crabs.
Oh,
no!
God.
They're brown crabs.
No!
Oh, wait a minute. No, they're golden crabs.
Oh. Okay, well, that's not so bad.
Golden crabs are good, but platinum crabs, that's where you really get into.
That's the high-end crabs that you want to get. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why this needs to be in the federal budget.
It doesn't. Well, and first of all, why is the FDA specifically saying you must call this type of crab? As long as you know and there's transparency and you have recourse. So let's say I label on the box, Doc Thompson Company presents golden crabs, and you find out, oh, it's brown crabs.
Okay.
Right? You can sue me, take it back. There's recourse. You know, there's public things public can do to say you tricked me, you slickered me.
Yeah.
And I can sue them.
What is
so
the
why
FDA
does the FDA have
to
tell you what you can write?
Yeah.
It's protecting people.
Right. It's just more regulation.
So
more
that's something else that is in the spending bill. Just a couple of things. And there's still more to tell you about. Let me get a break in. Tell you about more coming up next in the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
The Morning Blaze with Don Thompson.
Okay, we're telling you some of the things that were that are in the spending bill that they passed over the weekend. There's a new push for a front against Russia in the spending bill. So they earmarked $100 million for...
Just pushing back at Russia?
Yeah, basically it's a countering Russian influence fund.
Okay. All right. So we need a fund now to counter 100
million.
Russian influence.
Yeah, so it targets the money towards groups that strengthen democratic institutions and processes and counter Russian influence and aggression.
Russia must feel pretty good. They get their own little piece of the budget. I mean, there's money allocated just to counter influence Russia of all the countries.
There's 100 million.
I mean, again,
we started our infectious diseases global pandemic fund at 75 million.
Well, do you
countering
want
Russia's
infecting America
is 100
no.
million. That's the other thing in the budget. The disproportionate funding of things is
I don't get
laughable.
Where they get the numbers from. Like, why is this cost 75 million but this cost 100?
Obviously,
like,
they prioritize
the budgeting there.
More Americans will die with the Russia than they will with the Zika.
Mr. Thompson, I'm sorry to tell you, you've caught the Russia.
No, why couldn't it have been?
Don't worry, because the federal Ricketts. Government has allocated a significant amount of funding to counter that.
Oh, that's nice. So that's a good deal. Now, they say this isn't to investigate Russia's possible influence on our last election, but it's designed to reduce Russian influence in America, Europe, and Eurasia.
Oh, so we're paying for Europe and Asia as well to not be influenced by Russia?
Exactly.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice. We're helping
but
them.
But here's the thing. How is this money utilized? It's for, again, quote, countering Russian influence, which targets, strengthen democratic institutions and processes and counter Russian influence and aggression. What does that mean specifically?
There's no. That's a good question. Like, what does that entail?
It could be just propaganda,
anti-Russian propaganda.
It could be hiring somebody to post anti-Russian cat videos on Facebook.
You're right.
So am I right?
There's no specific. It gives them that open. Oh, here's $100 million to spend it on whatever you want.
Wait a minute. Are you strengthening democratic institutions and processes and countering Russian influence and aggression with this money?
Well, yes, sir. Have you seen our latest cat video where this cat is wearing an American flag and he's pouncing
wow.
on the cat with the Russian flag? They're kittens, so a lot of people are going to watch this.
That really does counter Russia's influence, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does.
It does.
And that cheeseburger you had for lunch today, does that strengthen
yes.
democratic institutions and presidents, counter Russian intelligence and aggression?
I'd say about 80% because there was Russian dressing on.
Oh, okay, good. You get rid of that.
It was a big
you know, we're not paying for that portion of your meal, just so you know.
Subtract the cost of the Russian
right.
dressing.
This is an open-end slush fund, people. That's all it is.
It really is.
Plus, in the spending bill, more immigrant workers.
What do you mean more immigrant? We're paying for more immigrant workers?
No, remember, because not all of it actually has to do with spending. Some of it just rules.
Okay.
It allows more immigrant workers. So you've got the got the H-2B visas. These are migrant workers, guest workers,
mm-hmm.
but they're the non-agricultural ones.
So like tech guys, basically.
Pretty much, but they're temporary. So normally it's capped at 66,000 visas per year.
Okay.
This allows it to double.
So over 120,000 visas.
It's actually more than double. It goes from 66 to 135,000.
Wow.
Is this part of the wall?
No, I don't think so.
Is this the door that's going to be in the wall? Do you remember the door?
Right.
So the man
that's going to let them in legally?
The man who is putting America first. The man who wants to make America great again. The man who wants to put Americans back to work.
Mm-hmm.
America, 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 America. And build a wall across the southern border of America to protect Americans and protect their jobs is
doubling
the number of H-2B visas.
That sounds counterintuitive.
Yes, it does.
So that extra 100, that extra 66,000 over couldn't be filled with American jobs? There's no...
Apparently they're not out there.
There's no Americans out there to take those jobs?
It's all crap. Bottom line, Trump is not doing what he said he was going to do. Which in spirit I agreed with, and in application I kind of agreed with. They're not doing it. They can say what they want about building a wall and they're starting it now or whatever. They're not. They're not funding it. They're not getting it done. And he should be ashamed of himself.
Absolutely.
He campaigned primarily on immigration, and he's not doing it. This is and to bury this in a spending bill. And you know what they did?
Typical.
The language was so tortured, people couldn't actually figure out what it meant. The people who normally speak governmentese are like, okay, there's like six triple negatives in this line and four triple negatives here. You cannot hire non-illegals from crossing the border when jobs are applied to non-immigrant. I mean, all this. And they finally calculated out. They rolled and they're like, no, this just doubles or more than doubles the number of legal H-2B visa workers. And they, by the way, this is the same thing they did last year with their continuing resolution.
It's always like that. It's always buried in these bills where you can't get the details, or they slide it in.
Now, the businesses love this.
Yeah, because
they're getting cheap workers.
Cheap workers, yeah.
How about the American workers? How do they feel about it? And how about Trump?
Pretty pissed.
And if these workers want to become Americans, get in line, become Americans, I have no problem with that. And even if the jobs go to those people, because they will live in America, and they will pay tax in America, and they will spend their money in America as opposed to sending it back to whatever dirtbag country they came from.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Got a lot of tweets coming in.
Lots
They're actually
tweets.
Pretty good, too.
They are.
Which is shocking. Normally, people let us down every day, but not today. Keystone Pig tweeting, I was just reading the Federalist Papers. Founding fathers discussed at length government duty to name sea creatures. You know what? And it's always important to remember what the founding fathers had intended with their writing. So thank you for reminding us of their concern over the government writing at length on the naming of sea creatures in spending bills that are bloated and put us into greater debt.
It's great. Good to know.
Good
Dumb
to know.
Dumb tweeted, hashtag what I learned today, for $500,000, I will tell Russia to stop it. I mean it. Seriously.
But who sent that out?
Dumb Dumb.
What I want to know, Dumb Dumb, will you say it forcefully? Will you be
will
direct?
Will you really be really assertive when you say
it? Right, because I don't want you like him hawing it like,
no,
hey, says, Russia.
Stop it, Russia.
I got something I have to tell you, and it's really kind of, this is difficult for me. It's, just hate being in this position. I don't want that.
You got to be like, stop it.
Hey.
Cut that.
Knock it off.
Like when
like your mom yells
yeah,
at you.
When you start acting up, hey.
Vika tweeting, I'm confused. Isn't countering Russian influence also known as NATO?
That's a good point. Black Cloud Media tweeted, this is pretty funny. It's a picture of a skeleton on a bench, and it's a meme, and it says, waiting for Trump to drain the swamp. It's a dead guy.
Going to take a little bit of time.
Take a little time. You might be waiting for a while.
Donna tweeting, at Doc Thompson Show, hashtag what I learned today. With increase in visas, will my tech support assistance by Bob with an accent be a local call?
Yep, that's pretty much what it's for.
Yeah, I think it is. No longer will, hello, can I help you? No, this is Kenneth. Yes. This is Kenneth, may I help you?
I am in downtown Maine.
Right. Now,
I am not across the world talking to you from Mumbai.
Now he actually will be in downtown Maine.
He will, yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No, seriously, it's a beautiful day in downtown Maine.
H-2B visa, I got one.
Thank you, Mr.
I got in
Trump.
Right at 134,000. If it had not been 135, I would still be in Mumbai.
It is tremendous being here. Thank
I am
you,
loving
Mr.
this
Trump.
Country, downtown Maine. Yay, golden crabs. Not the brown crab. Sleeve did it. Hashtag what I learned today, America first, after we welcome even more foreigners.
I got one.
What do you got?
Bladder not tweeting out, Trump's responsible for all spending bill. It's like Doc Thompson responsible for all Chris Cruz does.
Yes.
That's you aren't? Right. I thought you were his.
Well, no, because he still signs the spending bill, though.
Yeah.
So he has authority over that.
And as I was like, you are responsible for all I do. You actually are the one that recommended me for being hired.
It's not just Trump. I mean, it's obviously Congress as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a given. They're the ones who started, but of course, Trump signs it. So, you know. But so I guess that would be pretty accurate.
Yeah.
You know, you're responsible for all of your debauchery.
Exactly.
But technically, I mean, I'm your boss, so.
Whoa, not even close. You're not technically my boss.
I mean, I'm technically kind of your boss. I mean, it's a technicality.
You're not even on my chain of command.
I mean, it's like an auxiliary chain.
Well, then why do you like pick up his laundry and buy him his food?
Well,
and
that's an alternate.
That's a different deal.
Yeah, that's something else.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a domestic partnership at work thing.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That's a whole separate
work husband.
Thing.
Work husband.
Right. But I mean, it's like an auxiliary chain. So you got the main chain, and then you got the secondary auxiliary chain.
Where is this auxiliary chain?
It's kind of unspoken. It's just.
Is it right next to the makeup board?
It's not. It's not going to get posted. It's just an understood. I mean, people kind of know.
Okay.
I mean, you've seen how people kind of look at me around here with a certain level of respect. Doesn't need to be spoken.
That
I
call it.
Okay. Oh,
I don't know if I call it that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. They definitely
you know
look
what?
At you.
People look at you. Now
do.
I don't know what they're thinking,
it's
but they look.
It's a respect thing. Yeah. The Steve42 tweeting, Trump is making America great again, one H-1B visa at a time.
Or you got fake Chris Cruz saying, Doc Thompson, more dick jokes, less budget. I need to laugh this morning, not cry.
Well, we could tell you some about detectives. I don't know if we have any detective jokes coming up, but we may.
Okay.
You know, so possibly. We can get to that. Do we have the Hillary Clinton audio?
We do.
So Hillary is being interviewed by Christina Amanpour.
Amanpour.
Right. Who is trying to think of the best way to describe her. You want to help me out?
Large?
Well, I was going to say journalist, and then I was like, okay, I don't know what that means anymore.
Like
reporter.
Profession.
Right. And then I was like, well, I can't really describe her profession very well.
You can't really.
So then I was going to just go to political persuasion, and I'm like, I don't know if there's an accurate term to describe how far left she is.
She's so far left, she's ended up on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, like full circle
full
or something.
Circle.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't quite make sense either. And then I was going to describe her physically. And I was like, nope, that's not going to help anyway. So works for CNN?
Yeah.
Is that the best way?
I think so.
Okay, that's all I got. She was at a Women for Women rally.
Lesbian?
Event. I don't think so. There could have been some lesbo action there, but I think it was
Women for Women gay, right?
No, I think it was like progressive women supporting progressive issues. That would have been the other way to say it.
Okay.
So she's interviewing Hillary and they talked about the election and she asked, and I will give Christina Amanpour credit for asking her, do you take responsibility for the failure of not getting elected? She said, a whole bunch of people voted for you. And, you know, Donald Trump had this one single message. She actually kind of gave him a compliment. She said he had one message and stuck to it. You were kind of all over the place. Do you take responsibility? And this was Hillary's response to taking responsibility. This is Hillary's response to taking responsibility.
And where was your message? Mm-hmm. Do you take any personal responsibility?
Oh, of course. I take absolute personal responsibility. I was the candidate. I was the person who was on the ballot. And I am very aware of, you know, the challenges, the problems, the, you know, shortfalls that we had. Again, I will write all this out for you. But I will say this.
Okay, hold on a second. I mean, that's a pretty mature, responsible attitude.
I'm pretty surprised she didn't point the finger anywhere.
Right. I mean, she takes, hey, it's my name on the ballot. I take responsibility.
I've been in a lot of campaigns, and I'm very proud of the campaign we ran. And I'm very proud of the staff and the volunteers and the people who are out there day after day. And
Okay. I mean, I take responsibility, but I'm proud of it.
Right. I guess she feels she ran the best campaign that she could.
Okay, it seems a bit of a fail, but okay, I'll give you that.
It wasn't a perfect campaign. There is no such thing. But I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people.
She just think, yeah, a second ago.
Just now you're pointing a finger again.
I take responsibility, my name on the ballot, but I was going to win if it wasn't for Jim Comey.
And WikiLeaks. I think,
I take responsibility. I don't think she knows what that means.
Yeah, that's not taking responsibility.
This is like so, I bitched about this with Obama all the time. The buck stops with me. I take full responsibility.
Well.
What does that mean?
I think it means that they want to seem or look like they're being, you know, adults and
if you take responsibility, you have to accept the consequences.
Right.
There has to be consequences, and you have to accept those consequences. So if I do something wrong to Cal, and I don't take responsibility, and Cal wants to be made whole and says, I need the money or whatever it is, the way you screwed me over, and I say, absolutely not, I don't take responsibility, Cal does not get that. If I say I take full responsibility, Cal, for you losing that $10, that means I'm going to give you 10 bucks.
I'm glad you fessed up to that, by the way.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm just using the hypothetical. It was Chris who has the 10 bucks.
Figures.
I take full responsibility on behalf of Chris Cruz, who owes you $10.
You take full responsibility, but Chris Cruz was really the one.
Well, I do take responsibility for the $10, but it was really Jim Comey's fault. James Comey and WikiLeaks, Cal. They're the ones who owe you
$10.
It had
nothing to do with the fact that you lied over and over and nobody trusted you or anything like that. And
No.
Comey had to come out and, you know, kind of.
Nope. And it also wasn't based on truth.
No.
I mean, WikiLeaks and James Comey both had some truthful information.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it.
Yeah.
Or possibly all of it. Truthful information about you, Democrat Party failures.
Lying.
So another way to look at this is, I take personal responsibility, but it's that guy's fault, for telling you the truth about me.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Think about that. It would have been bad enough if she'd said it's James Comey's fault because they released fake information.
Right.
That's still not taking responsibility, but she's like, those bastards at the FBI told you the truth about me.
They put the truth out there and it made you doubt whether or not you should vote for me.
I was just weeks away from you not knowing the truth and voting for me. I was on my way to winning until James Comey told you the truth.
And he did his job, damn it. What kind of person does that? Seriously. He did what we hired him to do.
What is that? Is there more of her? Listen to the rest of this.
Who were inclined to vote for me, but got scared off. And the evidence for that intervening event is, I think, compelling, persuasive. And so we overcame a lot in the campaign. We overcame an enormous a barrage of negativity, of false equivalency, and so much else.
Wow. Hmm. They overcame it. All that false equivalency, the negativity. Narrative. I overcame people telling you the truth up to a point, but I couldn't escape it completely. Wow. What a failure. Hey, get your tweets in with the hashtag What I Learned Today. If you know somebody who is suffering from some sort of symptom or symptoms from a concussion or traumatic brain injury, a stroke, balance, dizziness, or any of these conditions, let them know there's help. If they've gone to the doctor, likely they are suffering over and over again because they can't get answers, and that just increases their stress. It's very, very frustrating. Maybe you know a veteran who's come home with a traumatic brain injury or PTSD, suffering. Doesn't have to be their life. They can get help at Cerebrum Health Centers. I've known people who have gotten help at Cerebrum Health Centers. They're doing amazing things. Their multidisciplinary teams of medical doctors are revolutionizing the traditional world of brain health. And you can get a free consultation. Just call them up.
Just start by making the call.
That's all it is.
If anything else and you're unsure or you don't know if you want to make that step, just start by making a call and talk to someone.
800-885-HOPE. 800-885-HOPE. Or you just go to glenbeckhope.com. Remember, Glenn has two N's. glenbeckhope.com or 800-885-HOPE. And the really exciting part, they're now accepting most major insurance plans. So this is an amazing opportunity for you or somebody you know that's been suffering to finally start living again. Living with these symptoms is not really living. Cerebrum Health Centers at glenbeckhope.com.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, fellas, here we're getting ready to head on out to Kentucky immediately following the show. We're hitting the road. It's a road trip. You did you pack some funds?
I did. Hold on. Which
funds?
Funds. Money.
Like, funds.
Pack some cash.
Yeah, I took $150 and they're tucked into my sock.
You shouldn't tell Cal.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, as soon as you fall asleep.
Where the sock is, though. You have to find the sock first.
That's disturbing. But wait a minute. I said funds, and you went, yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't know I meant money. So
no,
what did you think I said? Funds?
No, yeah. You don't want to know what I thought.
Did you pack some fun?
I packed some fun.
Okay, jeez. This is, I don't know what kind of bag of fun you have.
You know what I was thinking?
No, I don't, and
that
I'm frightened.
This is our first trip with Cal.
Oh.
So I was like,
he doesn't know some of the things that.
So I brought extra funds.
Oh, for fun for that. Gotcha. Okay.
Should I be worried?
No, not at all. Yum, yum, yum. No, not at all. You don't have anything to worry about. There's no trouble there whatsoever.
No.
Do I get my own room?
No.
Great.
No, you don't even get your own bed.
No. I should. I think
we have limited funds.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have more funds.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Scaring me. You're scaring
me. No, so it's the road trip with the guys and heading to the Kentucky Derby. We'll broadcast from the Commonwealth. And then Brad Staggs will be joining us the next day as well. He's not joining the caravan because he has some other responsibilities he can't take
off
like
us. I'm not used to not hear him come in.
Yeah, so Brad, by the way, has been on crutches for the last week or so, or actually month and a half or so.
Now you don't get
Because what do you have? You had a bunion or something?
Technically, it was bunionette.
Oh, a bunionette. It wasn't a full bunion.
Who knew what a bunionette was?
I didn't know. So you've been on the crutches, and everybody could hear you chunk coming down the hall.
Santa?
And then all of a sudden, you're all stealthy without the crutches. Yeah. I don't like it.
I snuck up on Cal a second ago.
I know. I didn't even hear him. He was right up behind me.
Uh-huh. We've all pitched in. We'd like to present you
before I heard him.
With this Morning Blaze cowbell. And we have a necklace that'll go on, and I want you to wear it so as you're coming down the hall, know when you're coming now.
Being stealthy.
I don't like you slinking around here. And by the way, I think Glenn wants you wearing this too. I can't speak for him, but I'm pretty sure I can speak for him on this.
Yeah. Yes,
nobody wants a stealthy Brad.
Yeah.
That's only slightly better than a stealthy Chris Cruz.
That's scary.
Yeah. All right, coming up, your headlines, and this is the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Okay, there apparently has been a failure start to finish with Chris Cruz's understanding of the Kentucky Derby.
They wore hats!
No, back further than that, when you didn't know the Kentucky Derby was a horse race. Because this was...
What do you think it was?
So our friends at Boundary Oak Distillery,
So embarrassing.
They sponsored the Flakies. We did some stuff really good. They have patented armored diesel, right, which is awesome whiskey.
Yes.
Named after General Patton. But they said, hey, are you guys coming to the Kentucky Derby? And Chris is like, no, they're planning on it. And they're like, why don't you come and, you know, you can be our guest. We can help you get into the media area, whatever. And Chris is like, okay, sounds great. And then Chris is like asking him some odd, what was it you asked them?
I was like, is that the car thing? I thought it was like.
And they're like.
Like a demolition derby?
They're like, the car thing, like, because it's derby. Not even a car race.
No, I was like, the car thing.
Right, the car thing. And they're like, it's the Kentucky Derby. It's the first
thing,
leg
right?
of the Triple Crown.
Yeah, the car
the
thing.
First jewel in the Triple Crown. And they're like, it's a horse race.
I was like, oh, well, that's.
And Chris is like, I better Google this Kentucky Derby.
It's
and
because he's from a foreign country.
Yeah. And then they said they wore hats. So I got you guys hats for the Derby.
So he says, you know, you got to wear funky hats. You guys should wear them because we're doing a Periscope video right now while we're doing the headlines.
Yeah.
And he brings in all of these hats. And I was like, okay, wear hats like they do at the Kentucky Derby. Slight, Brad's is a
slight miss.
Is a cop hat.
Whoa,
Cal's is a Viking hat, and mine is a shower cap.
No, I think it's the strawberry shortcake.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Hat. Okay, these are occupations and characters. The hats at the Kentucky Derby are like big, fancy. Wild, fancy, upscale women's hats with bonnets with flowers.
At least you didn't put the Viking hats backwards like he did.
You know that's backwards.
Yeah, I just fixed it. I thought it was.
No.
Now it's backwards?
It is. It's backwards.
The horns confuse me.
Wow. Okay, so.
Your horns are up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine when they invite us to the Academy Awards.
Oh.
What he's going to think that is or something like this. Is this this thing with the balloons? What is the, I don't know.
That's gonna be Academy? Very, very embarrassing.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I would just say Google more things, Chris. Yeah. That's what I would say when they.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
From upstate New York, Colgate University was locked down after a student spotted an armed individual.
Thank God they didn't get to Crest University. That would have been much, much worse.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Okay, what was it?
They spotted an armed individual. Turns out he was holding a hot glue gun.
That could be confusing.
Very confusing.
That's like for sticky. Crafts, like arts and crafts?
Yeah. It's easy to confuse one of those with like a Glock.
No, it's not. It looks it's in
was
fact
it a level 2 lookalike hot glue gun?
Oh, and you squeeze the trigger, it gets all oozy and dribbles and, you know,
the
it can
name
hurt somebody.
Is more gun-like than the actual tool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's
I mean, it doesn't look like a gun at all.
No. Not really. And it's probably blue. Most of them are blue or pink.
Oh my God, he's got a glue stick now. Is that Elmer's?
You can put somebody's eye out with that thing.
He can stick me to another thing.
Uh-huh.
If you hold it right there for 30 seconds while this heats up, I can glue something temporarily.
I will have construction paper all over my hands.
Don't anybody move. Just rub some dirt on it.
And aren't those things usually like fluorescent orange?
Yeah. Yeah. There's snowflakes.
Oh my God! This is almost as bad as the Pop Tart. Uh-huh. The kid that eating the Pop Tart.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that is a level 2 lookalike weapon.
It's not even a level 6 lookalike gun.
Now here's a weird one. In Connecticut, a wife's Fitbit has logged steps after her husband says she died.
Oh, so it's broken, eh? Faulty technology. It's either that or he killed
maybe,
her. So it's obviously. Oh, he killed her.
Oops. Yeah. No. They've cited Fitbit records in an arrest warrant for her 40-year-old husband who was charged with killing his wife in 2015. Now, yeah. No. So that's lesson.
This
number
whole
one.
Like technology thing is really ruining murder plans.
I know. It's really
it's like Alexa that recorded a murder. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Like
it's really infringing my ability to kill my wife.
Right.
Really.
I'm telling it really difficult. Making it work for
you. You know, there's always downsides to technology.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Sad news from Atlanta. Waffle House co-founder Tom Fortner died at age 98. That was, I believe, late last week, in case we missed it.
Man, they crushed it. What entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So have they buried him yet, or are they just going to scatter, smother top, chunk him, set dice? What are they going
to... The weird thing is, only 7 weeks after his business partner, Joe Rogers Sr., died. So they're both gone.
How do you not mandate that that's going to be in your obituary?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you do it real serious. Died today at the age of whatever. His ashes will be smothered. Scattered, smothered, top, diced, chunked. All over Los Angeles.
We should all go to Waffle House just to celebrate his life.
Yeah, because you're absolutely right.
Every New Year's Eve or every Christmas Eve, we go to Waffle House.
Oh, good.
Family tradition.
What do you get? Do you get the hash browns?
I get the hash browns and you get it all.
Okay, right. Okay, right.
She, you know, but right. Everything. Okay. Why not?
Because my wife goes, I've taken her a couple times and I'm like, you know, in the right mood, you're hungover, you get the right things. Uh-huh. Waffle House is it.
Yep.
She goes and she gets like eggs over easy and she's like, it's okay. And I'm like, you got eggs over easy. What do you?
Yeah. You can get that anywhere.
Right. You have to get the hash browns with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I told her, don't get the gravy, get the chili.
Yeah.
And she's like, eh. I'm with the gravy. How was it? It was okay. She doesn't listen.
You should be going. None of them do.
Wow.
I'm going to get rid of her Fitbit.
We've both been married, huh? At the other end of the fast food aisle, McDonald's has invented a fork.
Isn't it a spork?
This is a fork. It's a fry fork, a hybrid utensil. It's for fast food lovers. So it basically looks like a fork, but the tines are French fries.
That's amazing. So it's a fork? With French fries,
it's a fork.
So you can eat it.
Can you eat just the pokey part?
If you
eat the stem
but then
as
you
well.
You don't have anything to scoop your stuff around with.
Is the rest of it French fry too?
No, just the tines.
That would be stupid. You don't want the rest of it to be, because then your utensils all limp.
I think that's our million-dollar idea: edible cutlery.
See,
edible utensils.
Huh?
After you're done with your meal, you can eat your fork and knife and spoon.
Didn't Michael Keaton have that idea in Night Shift back in the movie in the 80s? Okay, here's an idea. Edible wrappers. I think he did. We wrap the burger and whatever. Okay, do you eat it when you're done then?
You can eat the tines, because again, the tines are made out of French fries, but the rest of it's plastic.
Okay. I mean, I guess...
Cal, you're right. You should be able to eat your fork and utensil.
That would be convenient.
Is the spoon made out of a cookie?
It should be.
See?
It definitely should not.
And then you eat your ice cream or whatever.
Can we patent that?
Well, and they have like the straws that are made out of cookies and candies and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't want to put them in your pocket. Well, they get warm.
Yeah.
I'm getting
hungry. You don't want that.
From the land of fruit and nuts... I used to call it
San Francisco.
Yeah, close. California. It may place a third gender option on state documents.
Other? Does it say what it is?
Does not say.
I'm shocked. It's only three.
So it would be neither male nor female, or alternatively both.
Okay, I think this entire movement is bat crap crazy.
Uh-huh.
And having said that, I can name like 10. Just based on the stories, they only have three in California at this point?
Well, unofficial documents. So, yeah. You can name 10?
I probably could. I mean, you got the gender fluid.
Right.
Then you got transgender.
Right.
Transsexual. Cisgender.
What's cisgender?
That's you.
Normal.
Were you born a man?
Is it,
and you're still physically a man?
I think so.
And you dig on the chicks?
Yeah.
That'd be cis. You're cis.
Wow.
Yeah. They used to call that hetero, didn't they?
And where does hermaphrodite work in on this thing?
I think it's when you got both.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, is that a different name?
What is that?
I think the official is he/she.
Is it really? That sounds offensive.
I reeled you in. Get the net. Okay.
I've been to that website.
Okay.
From Dayton, Ohio, a teen finds a man dead of an overdose while mowing the grass.
See, this is why I don't mow my lawn.
You don't want to find the dead man?
It might kill me.
Okay.
It isn't clear whether the man who was overdosing was mowing the grass. Well, he found the dead person.
Right.
But someone was dead. Up in Boston, a woman rejects her boyfriend's request for her hand in marriage up on the big screen at a restaurant.
Oh, that's great.
I would never propose on somewhere public.
Yeah.
Because there have been some people who fake that. This one was legit.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That is gold. Yeah. That is.
It said
that's kind of harsh. You think she would just say, oh, sure, yeah. And then when she gets home, she's like, listen, I didn't want to embarrass you in public, but I can't marry you. Have a little
rip the Band-Aid off.
Compassion, you know?
She doesn't realize it, but she's doing him a favor. Because he's going to get more dates today from the women who want to console him. My buddy Jimmy Barrett at his morning's WRVA in Richmond said, Women love to go through other women's trash. He goes, they set you out on the curb with the garbage bags and some other woman will come by and scoop you up. Uh-huh. It's like the hillbillies when you put a couch out there or a chair. They come by. He said, that's what his wife did. He said, the ex, she kicked me out. I'm sitting on the curb, you know, and next to the garbage. And his current wife came by and scooped him up.
Yeah.
They will. Oh, that's
took
too bad.
All of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know if you want to get rid of something, you put it out on the curb with a price tag on it?
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
If you put it out there and say free, no one will take it.
Mm-hmm.
25 bucks, they'll steal it like that.
Yep.
In Silicon Valley, lab-grown meat is coming to a supermarket shelf very, very soon.
Have you seen the lab-grown meat?
I've heard about this.
Is that like the pink meat stuff?
That's all like chemical stuff. This is they take meat cells
and grow it. Yeah.
Which,
so it is real meat.
It is. It sounds bizarre. Kind of like, yeah. It's not. I mean, but if it's still the meat.
I'd try it. Would you try it?
Trust me, you're going to be trying it because that's what's coming, man. They're going to.
You're soaking in it.
It's more than just mild.
Yeah.
No, because this is what's coming. First of all, it'll be we've got to feed people, so we got to do this. It helps with our food shortages. And then PETA gets involved.
Uh-huh.
And since we already have this stuff, stop killing Bambi. Stop killing the cows. Done. It's coming.
I was really desperate.
It's grown in a test tube.
Yeesh.
This
is just wrong.
Right.
So in Austria, a court has overturned a man's conviction for belching near a police officer.
Reportedly,
after eating lab-grown meat.
Yeah. Is that a law there? Or is it like just a general law about offending a cop or something?
He violated public decency.
Oh, wow.
He was
what happens if it comes out the other end?
Do you realize...
Probably the same thing.
If we were that strict here, Jeffy would be serving 3 consecutive life terms.
Yeah.
Let's get a break. This is The Morning Blaze.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
A Manitoba man has been asked to give up his vanity license plates because they've gotten complaints that have deemed them offensive.
Oh.
What do they say?
The vanity plate says ASIMIL and the number 8.
ASIM?
Yeah.
No.
ASIM, ASIM, IL, 8. Assimilate. He's a big Star Trek fan.
Resistance is futile.
You're right. He's a big star. It's a Borg reference, right?
Yep.
The complaints say it's offensive.
Why?
To Indigenous people.
What? Where is
in
this?
Canada.
In Canada?
Manitoba. So the Indigenous people were forced to assimilate when the people came in and took their lands, and therefore his ASIMIL 8 license plates are offending people. You're a big Star Trek fan, Brad.
Yeah, we are so done.
It's just like the Borg.
We are so done.
Europeans went to Canada, and it was like the Borg.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, they took their cyborg technology and forced the Native Americans to accept this.
Yeah, but the
Native
great thing
North
was,
Americans.
The great thing was they got that laser beam that came out of their eye.
Some of them did. Some of them just got like a little clippy thing on their hand.
Right.
So,
like Edward Scissorhands.
Right, that's all it was. Rye Morin from the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation.
The National Center for Truth and Reconciliation. Oh.
Whatever that is.
Did your membership lapse to that?
It did. You know what?
Their newsletter.
I let it lapse.
Oh.
The dues got big so one. Pricey.
Yeah, but that monthly newsletter, it is
really good, isn't it?
Full of great information.
Very informative.
Rye said, for basically the entirety of this country's history, Indigenous peoples have been forcibly assimilated through really extremely destructive means and ways.
I thought it was ways and means.
Means and ways in this case. When you're destructive and you're forcing people to assimilate.
And it's in Canada.
And you know what? Just assimilate.
Right.
It's means and ways now. Assimilate, Brad. He said words like that, meant or not. And it's not words, it's word.
Right.
Words like that, meant or not, have an actual impact on many people.
Especially those who are way too sensitive.
Assimilate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know if I was driving behind him and I read that, I'd pull over and cry.
They said they've gotten at least two calls.
At least.
Well, that's like the whole addict being offensive.
Oh, that's right. The chick kind of that you were with over the weekend who was offended by the term addict.
It's people
addict.
Like you that cause people to become addicts.
That's right. People like you using the word assimilate. I'm sure he'd like to fight it, but when you're dealing with the government, resistance is futile.
Yeah, that is true, and especially when it comes to the IRS. Yeah, that is... We're done. We are toast. As people and as a society, we're done.
Yeah, because I don't know where you go from there if a simple word is triggering somebody. Right. First of all, it...
Trigger!
Trigger, it's like a gun.
It's like
it could
a
mean
gun.
Something,
that's
whatever.
Offensive.
Is there any way to like weed or crossbreed?
Weed,
cross,
that's a drug. Mm-hmm. That's offensive.
Crossbreed mm-hmm. these people out.
Breeding, that's like sex. That's offensive.
Wow, see? Everything.
Thing.
Thing,
that
every.
To that, yes.
It's not We're exclusive
gonna
enough.
We're going to revert to just like those people on The Walking Dead that are like, fall, walk, we, too.
Oh, go. Yeah, yeah. The garbage
Get
people.
To, yeah, we will. Yeah. No, we can't use more than like.
True. They, you know, that is the redeeming quality of them. They are not offensive because they don't say anything.
They don't say anything, yeah.
The problem is there is no way to block every word, and people will always just migrate to another word. The only way around it is just shut the F up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's people to say, just seriously, you just need to shut the, you're bothered by assimilated, get over it.
You know what would stop them? Punch them in the nose.
It's because it's a priority thing.
Stupid people. If someone says something, hit them in the nose.
Is it like
you know what? You are training them. It's like a dog. Mm-hmm. You could just swat them with the newspaper.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No. Don't make the call about being. No. Yes. Bad dog.
That's the only
Bad
way
dog.
To do it. That's the only way to do it now.
Bad snowflake. Bad.
Right. That's what Bad. You have to do with it. You roll up a newspaper mm-hmm. and you swat them on the nose with it.
It's our last resort before we go straight down the tube.
Right. I mean, number one, it had nothing to do with
what they thought
race,
it was, yeah.
people, anything.
Right.
It was specifically a reference to Star Trek.
And he was forced to get rid of the plates.
Yeah.
He can't have those plates.
Right. And in fact, not only does it say, he has one of the little border protector things around the license plate that says the Borg and Star Trek and Resistance is futile.
Yeah. And so it was in context and everything. I'm telling you, you punched them in the nose.
Wow.
Like, imagine the effort it takes to get so worked up over something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, you're on the road, whatever, and you see that, and you actually get to the point.
Well, first of all, you got to decipher. Assimilate.
Assimilate.
My assimilate.
That says assimilate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm pulling over. I'm calling the DMV right now. Like, to actually make the phone call and complain about a license plate.
I don't get vanity plates anyways. Does anybody here have vanity plates?
No. Nope.
Well, mine says ass man, but other than that.
You're the ass man.
I'm the ass man.
Cosmo Kramer. No, why would I give the government a penny more?
Right.
If I got the plates randomly, you know, they go up to get the random numbers. If it just, Doc is an ass. If it said something about that...
Hold on.
And they said, for one penny more, one penny more, and you don't have to have this, I'd be like, you're out of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'm absolutely keeping this. I'm not giving you one stinking penny.
I was going to surprise you with your new license.
With the new license plates, chip in. Doc is an ass.
Okay. No, it just says I'm an ass.
I'm an ass. I got that. It's fine.
I think we should all just be thankful that we don't know anyone that is that easily offended, especially around here.
Oh, there's nobody around here that's easily offended.
I
don't get a bell for that.
I do not.
Here's
know
my
what
proposal.
You are talking about.
We start a discount bin of license plates, of vanity plates. So things that are like offensive or potentially troubling or whatever, can I get it for like half off? I'll go to the discount bin.
I'd buy.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. With Doc Thompson.
Celebrity chef Patrick talks business and food trends with Doc Thompson and the always hungry Morning Blaze crew.
Hey, what's going on? How are you, sir?
Good morning, Doc.
So, okay. Just kind of got derailed off air here. I sent I'm not going to go into specifics, but as a joke, I sent Patrick and Cal and Brad and Chris a video that a friend sent me, and it's of this raging spectacle of a fire, and you're watching it for about 3 seconds. You're like, wow, that's some real fire. And then it goes into some disturbing imagery. The idea is to kind of catch you off balance, and I think I caught you guys off balance.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mind your vanity plates, but I'm offended by that
video.
Are
you offended by the video?
No, I was frightened by the video, but not offended.
But you were watching with a female friend of yours?
I was watching with a group of people, yes.
He's like, wow, look at this fire Doc just sent me. Oh, for the love of peace.
It's one
what
of those
is-
things that, like, yeah, the first, like, whatever, 8 seconds is something that really attracts your attention, and you lock onto it, and then it completely changes something completely different.
You're like, oh my geez,
like,
what
oh
is
my
this?
God.
This is horrible.
You can't close the browser fast enough. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a little fun we had, but I would love to post it. I can't do that.
I'm pretty sure that would get you a meeting at Skip's Diner.
That probably would. I'd be banned from Twitter, Facebook, everything else.
I do, but I'd never be on the show again.
Right. So celebrity chef Patrick Mosier, Food Biz Pro. It's at foodbizpro.com or go to at foodbizpro or foodbizpro.com. I figure we talk a little bit of springtime. We got things changing, seasonal foods and whatnot coming in.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it out there. Spring has sprung, so have fun on Twitter with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's time for leafy greens, healthy vegetables.
Okay. Right? They can be good. Are you a vegetable fan?
Me? Yeah. I like vegetables. Okay. Certain ones. I'm not like big on things like Brussels sprouts or
broccoli
or I like kale, green beans, you know.
Brussels sprouts and broccoli both rock.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I haven't had them the right way.
Have you had multiple types
when I
or
eat
varieties?
Broccoli, I feel like I'm eating shrubbery.
Shrubbery. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. But I mean, Brussels sprouts, have you had them multiple ways or pretty much just like overcooked and.
Probably just over. You made them that one day. It was okay. Not bad.
Did I have them in something or by themselves?
Minced.
They were in something, though.
In some, yeah.
Oh, I just threw them in as like a extra green or whatever.
You just need bacon, onion, white wine, a little garlic. It's good.
Good to go.
Oh, yeah. Give me the roasting of these because mine never turn out great when I roast them.
I don't roast them.
Oh, I thought you roasted them.
No, what I do is I saute the garlic and onion in a pan, throw I have them, cut the outer leaf off, and then throw them in the pan, saute them really quick in olive oil, and then pour some white wine, a little salt and pepper, and just steam it.
Oh, okay.
And then add bacon at the end, crispy bacon.
The thing with vegetables, too, sometimes is if they're overcooked, it just becomes a soggy mess.
Yep.
And
a lot of people went through that growing up, especially our generation. Yeah. I mean, for whatever the reason, people cooked vegetables until they were completely destroyed.
I read somewhere you're kind of killing all the whole health benefits of because you're.
You are. The enzymes are dead after a certain temperature. So that's why the whole paleo thing became really popular.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to do it is eat raw greens. Right, raw greens, leafy vegetables. Mm-hmm. There are like 50 different varieties of lettuce.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All very good for you.
I like a lot of them. Some of them end up a little earthy for me if you get the spring mixes. There's one of them in the spring mix I don't like. I got to figure out what it is. Like spinach is fine. I like kale. That's fine. There's one of them. Might be the little spiky one.
It's all about the dressing.
Ridicule.
Might be.
Well, the red one's ridicule, right? But so the spiky one is chicory, right?
Oh, okay.
Better known as frisée. Mm-hmm. That's a rough one.
I don't think I know it's, it is either
it's,
one.
It's frisée. Really good.
I was like,
well, it's like the little, it's the frilly one, right? It looks like a little hand spread out into a bunch of, that's really bitter. It's a lot like radicchio, unless you braise it or grill it.
Mm. So that's probably the one I don't like.
I don't like it either.
I love arugula.
Member of the lettuce family?
Rocket.
Is that what it's, arugula is actually rocket?
I don't know why lettuces have two names. We had this conversation earlier.
Yeah, yesterday.
What are people thinking? Just call it something, name it that, put it on the shelf.
Do you know if arugula or rocket was, which one came first?
I probably don't.
Was arugula first, but.
I'm thinking arugula sounds like an Italian, it's Latin-based name. So more than likely in Italy, here they probably call it rocket. But you had a funny story about.
Yeah, so a buddy of mine worked at a home and garden center or whatever. And some gentlemen came in that were together and kind of fancy. And they were unhappy with the service, apparently, and they were giving people attitudes. So they went up to him asking for arugula, but it was just arugula. That's how it came out to him. And he's telling me a story, and he wasn't like, he's like, hey, may I help you? Arugula.
They didn't say, can I have
this? No, they were all
arugula.
Like, right. And he was like, so he's thrown off by the way they, asked for it, and he's thinking where it is. And before he could respond, he was like, hello, member of the lettuce family, arugula. Like he didn't know what it was. So I can't hear arugula without, hello, member of the lettuce family.
Rocket.
Rocket, member of the lettuce family, also known as arugula.
Arugula. Because I'm trying to be all, eat better and all that, and salads are usually the way to go. But I always get bored so quickly. I'm trying to think of different ways to,
eat the greens,
spruce up a salad, make it, other than your typical couple of vegetables and some maybe a protein in there. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing you can do is use unconventional greens, right? So tops of vegetables.
Tops of vegetables?
Yeah. Turnip greens.
There are a lot of those.
Yeah. Carrot tops, right? The green part of carrots.
The stems. Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever eaten that. The carrot top.
That's going to be that funky kind of carrot flavor, right?
A lot of greens are part of the mustard family. Mm-hmm. Mustard greens, turnip greens, they're all kind of the same family of plant. A lot of them are really bitter and really strong, unless you cook them down. But the ones that have a root vegetable attached are typically a little more palatable. Although they're crunchier than you're going to expect, they're not as strong as the flavor of the vegetable attached to it. So.
Okay. So you could, I imagine if you mix those, you could eat those raw too. If you mix them in with a salad, you probably get a little flavor, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah, and I'll tweet a recipe later. It's called Voodoo Greens. It's a very common, it's common to some places in New Orleans.
Okay.
But it's like four greens. You can put up to seven greens in there and they cook it down with bacon and some spicy stuff. It's really
good. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds really good.
But the great thing about greens is they tend not to lose all of their nutritional properties when you cook them. And they're really good at making your body more alkali than acidic. And people that are trying to stay healthy, it's a very simple fix, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very few calories, lots of fiber, and it fills you up.
I'll bet over the last 10 years, I have clicked on thousands of the top 10 foods to fight cancer, right. Top 10 foods to lose weight.
Top 10 leafy greens right here.
Right. I've clicked on all of those health ones, and I started noticing trends. That there are a handful of foods that show up on all of the lists. I mean, various combinations for various things. And there's probably 30 foods that you'd put into this special superfood type category shows up on all of them. And the leafy greens show up on like 90% of them.
Four out of 10.
Right. It's different combinations.
Typically kale.
Kale, spinach.
Everywhere.
Swiss chard.
Mm. Those are always up there.
Yep.
Always.
I feel like, 3-5 years ago, you never heard of kale. Now it's in everything.
Have those trends, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whatever. Restaurants typically set those food trends. Mm-hmm. And when there's a widespread desire for that particular food group or food item, you'll see it translate over to recipes, grocery stores, marketing.
Are there some other ways that, everybody would eat healthy if it was a pizza that was fast and easy and cheap.
Is there any way
if it was a spinach pizza like a cheeseburger. That wasn't 10,000 calories?
Yeah. But what are some ways of, give us some ideas of what somebody could do with greens to say, okay, the kids are going to like this more, we're going to like it more, whatever, I'm trying to eat healthy. How do you incorporate? So you could do the salad stuff, like you said, and you mix some of the stuff in, use some different types.
Well, we could do what our parents did was they steamed it and put cheese sauce on it.
Okay.
It's not that good. But
right.
Maybe not greens, but vegetables in general.
Okay.
Roasting them with some salt, pepper, olive oil, and garlic.
Okay, like
is
the roast,
a great way to kind of mask the flavor.
Okay, like the roast cauliflower.
My favorite.
Roasted cauliflower is great.
My favorite vegetable. So you turn the oven to 425.
Okay.
You while it's heating, you cut it into a little bigger than bite-sized pieces.
Okay.
Toss in olive oil, a little garlic, salt, and pepper. Spread it out in one level layer, not stacked. In a big roasting tray, and then at 20 minutes, turn it. It takes 40 minutes to roast.
Okay.
It comes out all caramelized. Like, garlic gets kind of sticky and gooey when it gets to the right caramelization. It does the same thing. But it's a bigger bite. It's completely different than raw cauliflower, because I don't like raw
cauliflower.
Have you
ever had the roasted cauliflower like that?
I haven't had it roasted, but I've had it every other way. I've had cauliflower soup.
Good.
I've had cauliflower mash. And they're surprisingly very good.
The roasted is, it's...
Never had it.
It's really, cauliflower is kind of a blank canvas.
It is.
The flavor is mild and you can make it very different.
You can do the same with broccoli. Different. Broccoli is very strong, right?
Right.
If you take broccoli and slice it into like 1-inch thick slices across it.
Oh, okay.
You can saute that in a pan.
You mean long ways or across?
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom.
Top
okay.
to bottom, so
okay.
you get consistent slices. Saute in a pan until it's caramelized on one side. Turn it over medium heat, and just let it sit there. And if you need to finish it, just stick the whole saute pan in the oven for like 4 or 5 minutes at 350, pull it out, use a towel because the handle's going to be hot. And it's so much different than your standard steamed broccoli. It's nowhere near as strong. The flavors are more mellow, and it's a great roasted flavor.
Did you ever have Sammy's Broccoli?
No.
Sammy's in
Chinatown?
Yeah, it's not even Chinatown. It's just on 6th Avenue toward downtown.
You guys just talk about it all the time.
Yeah, it's like 10th and 6th Avenue or something in Manhattan. There's a place called Sammy's right there. It's huge. It's a noodle house. I went in there, was trying to eat healthy, and they had a broccoli dish. I didn't even see what was on. It was just bring me broccoli. It was like one of the few vegetables, not a lot of stuff on it. And it had, it's garlic broccoli. And it has kind of a dark brown sauce. But it's thin, and it doesn't cling to it very well, and there's not a lot of sauce on it, and it is exceptional. I mean, I tell people this, they're like, we're going to get broccoli. Trust me, we're going to get broccoli. And I make them say it that way to just offend the people in the
subway.
It's
okay. Having lived in Japan, I make the same.
Right. Joke. Broccoli.
Broccoli.
And we have to take a trip to New York so you can tell me what's in this.
Absolutely. So probably what they MSG. Probably do is, yeah, maybe, but what they probably do is partially steam it first.
Okay.
And then saute in a big wok very quickly.
Okay.
Because that high heat, low time.
Mm-hmm.
Gives a different texture, flavor, caramelization to just about anything.
Mm.
That's why wok cooking is so popular. That's why.
What do you think's in that sauce? Like I said, it's a brown sauce. It's thin. I mean, it's obviously garlic. It's a powerful garlic.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have some sort of a probably a beef stock.
That's what I was wondering for the since it's so deep, rich brown.
Absolutely. Yeah. A little garlic. You'll probably have onion powder.
Okay.
And then there's going to be some sort of cornstarch or something to thicken it.
All right. Yeah, we're going to have to go. This is, absolutely. I know it's just,
can we go to Gray's Papaya over there so we can equal it out with some unhealthy along with the healthy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do the whole thing. All right. Let me get a break. We'll come back with more of our celebrity chef, Patrick Mosier, next on The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory that's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. Most chronic pain comes from inflammation in the body, and if you're taking narcotics, it's just masking it. Where Relief Factor actually helps you alleviate the pain because it's alleviating the inflammation. Try it today. Works great. Works for me. I tried it for my sciatic. Cleared it up. Everything was fine. I started running again. Then I started jumping, and I started having some more pain in my sciatic. I took it again. The pain starts going away, and eventually will be gone. So
I got lower back issues, and they kind of come and go. And I've also had laparoscopic surgery on my shoulder to fix a torn labrum. That acts up every once in a while. Relief Factor totally fixes both of them.
You know, you really make this commercial sound because you used a bunch of big words and it sounded scary.
What?
You tore your...
I tore my labrum in my left shoulder.
Men have those too?
Yes, believe it or not.
Where is that located on your shoulder?
It's a piece of cartilage between the ball and socket of your shoulder.
Okay.
And it holds the ball in place.
Okay.
So,
wow, it sounds...
It's mine tore, and basically my shoulder kept dislocating.
The important thing is, though, Relief Factor helped.
Yes, okay. Yes, because, you know, when you have major surgery like that, every once in a while when it's, like, humid or something, you feel kind of the aches from the surgery. For the most part, it's fine, but when it does come up, my Relief Factor totally gets rid of it.
You can try a 3-week quick start pack for only $19.95. Most of you new users see results 7 to 10 days. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384 to go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com to get your three week quick start pack for just $19.95. All right, best candy bars. We talked greens.
We'll be here forever talking about that.
If you had to give me two or three, if you can't think of just one and narrow it down, that is your go-to candy bar, go.
Charleston Chew, frozen.
Really?
Okay.
Twix and Kit Kat are always my go-to.
Okay.
I love
give me another one, Patrick.
Snickers, frozen.
Okay, very good.
You know what? Sometimes just a regular, and I know it's not the best chocolate in the world, but a plain Hershey bar actually hits the spot.
If you just want, okay. So if you were to compile a list for you of your top 10, right? You guys got a couple there. If you were to say, what do you think are the best candy bars if there was a survey done? What are the top couple candy bars if somebody did a survey of it?
Most people would probably pick your...
highly marketed stuff. Snickers, yeah, probably. Snickers,
I would say Snickers,
Twix, Milky Way,
and Twix. Maybe, and maybe Mickey Way. Like
Milky
that.
Way used to be marketed probably, pretty heavily, not so much anymore.
Yeah, probably Kit Kat. But I think Twix and Snickers are... It's not. They're, you're right. They're marketed, mm-hmm. but I think they also have that substance. And I mean, you see people just like crazy, right? I found a list of 25 of the best candy bars that Huffington Post printed, and nowhere on that 25 is Twix,
really,
or Snickers.
Are they all made overseas in England or
no?
Or,
really? In fact, they say this is an American candy bar
because there's a big difference. Because in the UK, I know there are different rules regulating. What's in chocolate? Like in the U.S., it's much more sugar.
But not,
over there, there's a lot more cocoa.
Percentage of milk and cocoa powder.
Right, no,
yeah.
This is specifically, and she says, the author says, I don't want to talk crunchy bar or flake bar or Yorkie bar or anything that's English. This is an American candy bar list, and here are the 25. And Twix and Snickers is not on your list.
That's insane.
So what's number one?
Well, I will run down it. Number 25, zero.
Really?
The zero
what?
Bar.
I've had that. It's nothing special.
That wouldn't make my top 1,000 list.
It's like nougat. It has a white wrapper, right?
It's right. Silver, actually. Silver.
Wrapper, yeah, yeah. But no. It's white chocolate
zero.
On the outside.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Number 24, Mr. Good Bar. Chocolate with the peanuts.
$1 million bar's got to be here somewhere.
And comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
We were not silenced. We will not be silenced in our criticism of the zero bar. Apparently, there was
they pulled the plug on us.
There was a timing issue, and I take full responsibility for it. It was Kirk's fault. Just like Hillary Clinton, I take full responsibility. Yeah. Kirk,
the
you screwed up.
The buck stops with you, Doc. Kirk, when it's Kirk's fault.
Kirk, it was you and James Comey.
It's always me.
I know. You and James Comey and WikiLeaks tried to silence us. But we're back. Yeah,
maybe
it was just
Kirk,
a timing issue.
You know what it is? Kirk really likes the zero bar.
Are you a zero? Do you own stock? Is that what it is?
That's what it
he
is.
He got mad when we bashed the zero
okay,
bar.
Kirk, top couple of go-to candy bars. What are they
definitely
for you?
Twix. I See? Like Cal's. Twix and Kit Kat are kind of my go-to.
Okay, yeah.
Those are the ones.
Twix, not on the list.
I'm surprised. I'm shocked. Actually,
so we told you a zero bar. This and it's a Huffington Post list.
Figures.
So I'm like, you damn communists that
can't
are not putting
everything.
Twix and
can't
and
get anything
Snickers
right.
on the list.
Can't even
anti-marketing
candy bars right.
Yeah. So you got the zero bar of 25.
What's
fail.
The most popular commie bar in Russia?
Well, we'll get on the list here. We'll see.
This is American. I want to know what's top in Russia.
I'm sure it's
the vodka bar.
Borscht bar. Borscht. We take borscht. We push it into bar.
And add vodka.
And add vodka. You must have vodka or you not eat borscht. You're drunk or you won't eat it. So you've got the zero bar fail. Mr. Good Bar, it's okay, but is it on your top
What's
25
in the Mr.
list?
Good bar? Isn't
just I don't even
chocolate
remember.
Chocolate and peanuts.
Chocolate and peanuts. Boring.
It's a Hershey bar
with peanuts.
With peanuts. Charleston Chew, number 23 that Patrick likes.
That's nougat, right?
Yeah, it's
chocolate,
kind of a yeah,
chocolate
yeah.
nougat.
Mm-hmm.
Or as they describe it, chocolate covered rubber. The Hershey bar 22. Mm. Number 21, the Mars bar. Mm. Number 20, the Fifth Avenue.
What's in that?
I don't remember. That's it's pretty much the same as some of the other ones. Let's face it. O. Henry, they're all kind of the same. O. Henry comes in number 19. Right. Take five, number 18.
That's got pretzel in it, right?
It mm-hmm. does. This has pretzel, caramel, chocolate. It's got the other stuff, but it has pretzel in it.
That's the whole sea salt, crunchy chocolate
yes.
thing.
Yes. That is a...
I get that one.
That's a very underrated bar.
I agree.
Shocked they put this one on here. Some of the other ones were kind of older bars. O. Henry, Fifth Avenue. Those are older schools.
Yeah, they're rehashing old stuff.
Number 17, The Payday.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because...
Peanuts, caramel, nougat.
But no chocolate.
Nope.
One of the few that didn't have chocolate back in the day. And you think of candy bars as I think all the rest of them have chocolate on this list. Mm-hmm. So it stands alone. Baby Ruth coming in at 16.
I used to be a big fan of the Baby Ruth. It's got the chocolate, the nougat, the peanuts.
After seeing what was the movie? Yeah. Caddyshack? Can't eat a Baby Ruth anymore, sorry.
Oh, that's right.
The pool scene.
Yeah. Yep. Number 15, the Mounds Bar.
I love me some Mounds.
Love
chocolate
the Mounds.
Chocolate and coconut go excellent together.
Absolutely.
Unless you're not a coconut fan. Now, the difference between the Mounds and the Almond Joy, aside from the almond, is the Mounds is dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. Almond Joy is lighter chocolate.
Milk chocolate.
Mm-hmm. So I prefer the Mounds because I like the dark chocolate. I like my chocolate.
Dark.
Like
your man.
Exactly. Number 14, whatchamacallit.
Ah, see?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great candy bar.
Yes,
great marketing ploy.
What do you call it? A whatchamacallit. What do you call it? A whatchamacallit.
It's got like a Rice Krispie caramel thing.
Yeah, so it's got kind of the Rice Krispie-y and then caramel covered
chocolate.
In chocolate. Yeah. But a lot of these, aside from the Take 5, the other ones are all, 1940s candy bars or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. The whatchamacallit, that was a 1980s candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they came out. Number again, remember, these are the top ones.
This came
ones.
Out to stop communism. You know that, right?
Of course. This was in the face of
them. This is the chocolate bar to stop
communism. That's right. You eat your borscht bar. We're having whatchamacallit.
Exactly.
We couldn't come up with a good marketing name for it, but this is it.
We couldn't pronounce the Russian bar, so this is the whatchamacallit?
Exactly.
Duh.
Number 13, the Crackle.
Which is basically a crunch bar, right? It's just the
yes,
rice.
But in small form.
Small
okay.
Form.
And I thought that when I saw this list, I was like, why not just use a crunch bar? You know why they didn't use a crunch bar?
Because it's Nestle.
Next one.
Because crunch bar comes in at number 8.
I like the crunch bar.
But what is making Crackle five notches down from the crunch bar? Because it's so small?
The only thing I would say is that they're different companies. One is Nestle and the other is Hershey. So maybe their chocolate recipe is different and it tastes different. To me, it tastes the same. But
number 12, the Almond Joy.
Milk chocolate. Coconut.
Number 11, the Kit Kat.
Wait, the Mounds doesn't have an almond in it, right?
Right, and it's darker chocolate.
Okay, so that's the Almond Joy things. Has an almond and it's milk chocolate.
Because remember, Peter Paul Almond Joy has nuts. Mounds don't.
Okay.
Because sometimes...
You feel like a nut.
And...
Sometimes
there
you don't.
It is. Okay. Number 11, the Kit Kat. I was going to make you do the whole thing, Cal.
I love the Kit Kat.
A fail at number 11,
though. Are we going to sing them all, though? Give me a break.
No, we're not.
Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Peppermint Patty. Is Peppermint Patty on the list?
No, it's not.
I'm not sure that's a chocolate bar or a candy bar, but,
No, I mean, I would have had to completely attack them if that was on there. It was a horrible
peppermint
thing.
Peppermint chocolate is refreshing.
Funny commercials in the 80s, though.
It's not, though, because it's not creamy. It's horrible inside. It's a bad. It's not just it's mint.
It's delicious.
Mint is good, but
it's refreshing.
Not. No, they're not.
The
junior mints, I'll give you, because it's creamy.
Thing.
No, it's creamy. The junior mints are creamy.
What are you talking about?
The peppermint patty isn't creamy. It's almost hard in there.
I don't know what kind of peppermint patties you've been eating.
It's creamy like junior mints.
Yeah. It's creamy peppermint with chocolate.
It's not, Patrick, is it creamy like the junior mints filling?
No.
Thank you.
It's grainier.
Ah, see, it's grainier.
I think the biggest difference
is chef. He knows. He has a soft palate.
The chocolate is crisper.
Yes.
Not necessarily the mint.
That's right.
I stand corrected.
Okay. As long as you know there's a difference.
It's grainier.
That's a fancy chef term, by the way. I'm not sure you've bought into
that. That's one of those moments. I'm really sad we're on radio because to see Cal's mocking of me when he says it. The physical gesture was funny.
Did you see the hand gesture?
I did, yes. So number 11, the Kit Kat, a failure that it's at number 11.
Yeah.
Because there are things higher than it. Like,
and it's very simple. It's just a wafer with chocolate on it, but I don't know why it's so delicious.
Because there's the right and the left.
It's the layers.
It is.
That's the layers of secret.
What? It's just a wafer.
It is, but it's layering the wafers.
And it's four
it's not one,
of
right.
them.
Right.
Oh.
You get to break one off at a time or just eat it whole.
That's right. The Score or Heath bar comes in at number 10. Love them. Got to put the Kit Kat higher.
Yeah.
Got to put the Mounds higher.
But I'm a big Heath bar fan.
The thing is, it's a giant piece of toffee, and it's delicious.
Hard toffee.
It gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, but it's good.
It's difficult to eat.
Number 9, the 100 Grand bar. A fine candy bar. Certainly deserves to be on the top 10 list.
I agree.
Number 8, Nestle Crunch. Good. Fail in the top 10.
Not top 10.
Number
7.
Snickers. Trying to think where we're at. No, because it's not a...
I'm looking at it right
Butterfinger.
Now. No, that's number 6.
Wait a minute. I looked at this last night. Those two were not on here.
I'm looking at the list right now.
Ah, they revised it.
I'm serious. I went through this purposely. This. Number seven is the Snickers. I see it on the list.
But
okay,
at seven?
This is a fail.
At seven, that's bad.
That's a fail. Yeah.
Snickers is probably the greatest candy bar.
Butterfinger number six.
I like Butterfinger. Got to be cold, though.
Got to be cold, yeah.
Number five, Twix does make. I'm telling you, this was not on there last night because they had some other junk stuff.
Yeah, because you said Twix
stuff.
Wasn't on
it
here.
It wasn't.
Kit
I looked
wasn't
at them
on
both.
Here.
No, and caramel wasn't on there
How many
either.
Comments did they have
it's
on the article?
Conspiracy.
I'm wondering if they changed. I'm serious. I looked at this three times.
Were you inebriated when you were?
Okay, I was drunked up, like but still, I mean, like, I know how to order a candy bar when I'm drunk. Number five, then, is the Twix. I'm telling you, these weren't on there. Number four, the Sky Bar.
I've never had that. What's a Sky Bar?
This is an old candy bar with multiple pieces. Do you remember one was one coconut, one caramel, one just other chocolate?
I don't remember, but yeah, it's three separate.
Did one of them have that funky jelly stuff in it that you'd get in candy? That is a huge. What that means is one quarter of your candy bar is not edible.
It's kind of like the Chicka Stick, right?
What's wrong with jelly?
What's wrong with Chicka Stick?
It's still good.
It's not a candy bar.
It's the texture on the outside. It's kind of funky.
We shot flavor good. We shot a little video for our promo that we're going to be in Kentucky yesterday with Jeffy in downtown Carrollton outside of a candy store. You'll have to go and watch the video. But anyway, we went in the candy store and the girl with us, the producer who was with us, went in specifically to buy two Chico sticks. Yep.
Chico sticks? I've never had that.
What?
What's a Chico stick?
It's a Chicka Stick. It's candy with like some coconut inside.
Yeah, it's got this weird orange stuff on the outside. It's kind of like an inside. No, it's like an inside out Butterfinger without chocolate.
Yeah. Hmm. That's
and
actually
add
pretty
coconut.
Good.
Wow. Add coconut.
That's pretty close to it. You're right.
As a former sushi chef, you know, inside out. Gotcha. On the outside, you know.
So wait, back to the Sky Bar, the jelly thing. You know what I'm talking about. Who said yes about the jelly?
I like the jelly in my chocolate.
Yeah.
You like that jelly covered like
when you get pieces of candy and it has that stupid jelly one, you like that?
Yeah, what's wrong with
that? So you like the Valentine's.
You need to go work for HuffPo. Seriously.
No.
Okay, Three Musketeers, number three. There is no way that tops Snickers,
no way.
Butterfinger, whatever. It's a weak candy bar.
It's very simple.
I mean, I like it, but I wouldn't put it at the top.
Fluffy nougat and chocolate.
Yeah.
Caramello, number two.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Again, very simple, but is
that's
it number
like saying
two?
Rolo needs to be a number two. That doesn't work.
And then Milky Way, number one.
I'll give that. That's good.
Number one?
Yes. Not number one.
Milky Way is weak, too.
Definitely top five, not number one. Maybe top 10.
Care to defend yourself?
Who's eating a Three Musketeers when you can get a Milky Way with at least has caramel?
Milky Ways are lip balm.
Frozen? Cold?
Cold.
Okay. All right. I just, Three Musketeers to me is always like, oh, it doesn't have caramel.
You know, it's interesting. They took out all these very exceptional European bars, like the Ritter Sport ones.
Oh, I've seen it. Are those good?
They come in a package that looks kind of like Twix. I mean, Kit Kat. But they have all sorts. They have one with almond filling. It's this great
Swiss. I've always seen those, and I've got to be honest, I've always been a little intimidated by them.
They're very good. They have ones with marzipan, which is an almond paste inside.
Yeah.
Where's the Toblerone on here?
Oh.
I've never had the Toblerone.
You know, they excluded all of Europe from this, even though most of these chocolate companies are owned
by
Nestle.
That's a little pyramid-shaped box, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little triangle. Mm-hmm. Pyramid, yeah. And they come like white chocolate with nougat or milk.
Ten little sections, different sizes.
They're always at the duty all free. Chocolate. They're always at the duty-free shops in the airport.
So I saw one yesterday because this was a candy store that had like throwback candy and they had a bunch of stuff or whatever. The Aero Bar. Do you remember the Aero Bar? It had all the like little air pumped into it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very tasty bar back in the day. And do you remember the Marathon Bar? Remember that one, Patrick?
Yeah,
you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
No. That's an old school. No. So they basically drizzled caramel onto a pan or whatever, made like this lattice work type long thing, and then dunked that in chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like almost like a ladder.
Oh.
But kind of zigzag.
It was good stuff.
Oh, yeah. So it was just chocolate cover. But the caramel was harder. It wasn't like a real thin caramel like the inside of a Caramello.
Yeah. Chewier.
Caramello is also kind of off my list because I worked at this radio station and they did this deal and we had Caramello. Is it Caramello? Is that
Caramello, yes.
They did a deal and we had rooms full of these things. I mean, we had like two full, huge, like 12 by 12 vaults of these things to give out at events and stuff. And I gorged myself on them one summer. And I'm just like, okay, I can't have these things anymore.
That was kind of like me with, I was a member of the German club in high school. And we had to sell these gummy bears to raise funds. And I ate all of them. And I bought them from myself.
Right.
And I never ate gummy bears again.
See, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was working at this station. And they didn't pay very well because it's radio.
Yeah.
And
they paid you in caramellos?
Take it out in caramels.
Well, they're just like, well, yeah, you can have some caramellos or whatever. So this was in lieu of food. I was like, I sustained my life on caramellos that summer. It was pretty rough, that one. So
some funny
that
tweet,
was a rough one. So
funny tweets here. Kieran Ellison tweeted. Tweeted, a sky bar is an overpriced lounge in the airport terminal where pilots drink.
So here. Yeah. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you are.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Wait a minute. They had the wrong picture for the Mars bar. Mars doesn't have chocolate, does it?
Donna tweeted, the Russians hacked Doc's best candy bar list.
I'm telling you, I looked at this last night because I was incensed enough to flag it and say, we got to talk about this. And then I'm like, wait a minute, there it is.
Shield Maiden Mom tweeted, I only eat a Butterfinger when I want my mouth to be glued shut with industrial strength epoxy.
Oh, yeah, you cannot bite into that thing.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stinky tweeted, Chico sticks are basically miniature Zag nuts.
Oh, you're right. That is even closer.
Absolutely,
you're
right.
And what happened to the Clark bar? Remember the Clark bar? Do they still make those?
I don't think it's in production anymore.
I don't even remember what was in it, but I just remember the Clark bar.
What was in the Clark bar?
I don't remember exactly what was in them. I just remembered you'd go to the old vending machines where you pull the little lever out and the thing flaps down.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And you'd be at a gas station and the Clark bar was there since 1930.
They do make them. Clark bar.
What's in them, does it say?
Peanut butter. Chocolate peanut butter bar.
Chocolate.
I remembered having peanut butter. That does sound legit. All right, Tom, what do you got? Come in here. You got something about the candy bars.
Clark bars are the best.
Okay, what was in them, though? I can't remember. You got to get up to the mic, Tom. We're in radio. You're the engineer. You think you know how the mics work. Okay.
Right. Crunchy peanut butter in the middle and a chocolate on the outside.
Was that it? Was this crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
It's kind of like the predecessor to the Butterfinger.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not quite as crunchy, but yeah.
Okay, now I remember.
And
that's
right. You could probably Google it and find a vendor somewhere.
Yeah, we got to try that. Would that be your go-to candy bar? What would be your go-to?
It was when I was a kid.
Okay, that's the one.
My go-to when I was the 100 grand, do they call it?
Yeah.
It used to be $100,000
bar. $100,000,
right.
Yeah, now it's called $100,000.
I think with inflation, it would have gone up, you know, changed to $1 million bar, something like this.
Oh, $1 million bar?
Yeah. Let me get a quick break in. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network. With Doc Thompson.
All right, lots of tweets coming in, lots of candy bar. First of all, DM and DM tweeting, the Old Faithful Peanut Cluster from Boise, Idaho. It says the original Cream Center Peanut Cluster, and the packaging looks like it's from like 1950. I love those old regional candy bars and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Specific to location?
Yeah, like different parts of America would have stuff, and some of them went national and became like your Clark bars and stuff, and then some of them didn't. But those are cool. If you go to like... You know, you're driving through like a Boise, Idaho, and you stop at a gas station. There's still a local company that makes something. That's
got to be a
cool
job, coming up with candy bar ideas. Like, what if we took nougat and covered it in chocolate and put a cookie on it?
See, I bet back in the day it was, but now it's all like corporate chefs and create this stuff. And
chefs?
Seriously, it's all lab-based. It's, World of Spots tweeted a meme of Kirk running the board. It's a dog typing the computer saying, I have no idea what I'm doing. You can check it out. Just go to Twitter and look at Doc Thompson Show. You can see the picture.
Texting and driving tweeted, great. Now I got to stop and get a candy bar. News headlines, diets fail everywhere. It's true.
KB Porzus, I don't know how to pronounce that. Is Big Candy taking you off the air rather than let you diss Snickers with some fake news list? I think it is. Backyard Cops. I don't know. Cal, I don't know what happened. It was not on the list last night unless I was really hallucinating.
I don't know. I mean, this article.
Because I saw the list and I went like this. I was like, go down to the top couple. Right. I'm like, because I know it's going to be Snickers and.
Well, I was surprised when you said that those main ones aren't on
And I'm
there.
Like, Snickers, Milky Way? No. Three Musketeers. Where's Snickers? Where's Twix? Where is it?
I'm sure you weren't.
And I went to top 10.
Drunk or loose? Because
I might have been. I don't know what's going on.
The date, the article published date is September 30th, 2013, 9:20 a.m. So I can't see that.
So you're spreading fake news.
What's that?
You're spreading fake news.
I'm not spreading. I was sharing somebody else's fake news to point out how it was fake news. I think everybody knew it was fake news.
You're supposed to research your sources before you go on.
I told you what the source was.
Well, is it a very trustful source?
No, but I was still pointing out how ridiculous it is. That's the whole point of fake news. Mm. Largy Farking, during certain holidays, Speedway gas stations sell 2-pound candy bars.
Two pounds? Wow.
Oh, Trailer Park Aaron said the Clark bar turned into Superman for a while.
Superman? I've never heard of a candy bar called Superman.
The Clark.
Oh, I get it. Ha! I see what he did there.
Okay, he got me too. He got me too. I was like, whoa, that's interesting.
It's like, why'd they change their name?
This is some high level jokes in here now.
Actually, it wasn't, but it was really gotcha. That's really.
I was like, whoa.
Well, do you remember the Superman ice cream?
No.
There was a flavor of ice cream for, I don't know, like 10, 15, 20 years, 80s and 90s, called Superman.
Is this a joke, too?
Back
in the day?
No, it was red, yellow, and blue ice cream kind of swirled together.
Ice cream back in your day?
It was good, too. I don't know what flavor it was, but it was good. It was just red, yellow, and blue, a Superman
they have
flavor.
The popsicle.
That's a Captain America.
No, that's a Starburst thingy.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, we have some good news coming out of the Trump administration.
Really?
Well, I mean, because recently, last few days, it's been a lot of almost like a malaise of just him not doing what he's supposed to do. We ripped on him earlier for not following through with his immigration policies.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Even though I didn't agree with all of them, I loved that he was spearheading this. Let's secure the border and illegals should not be here.
Right.
I called him out during the campaign when he kept waffling on it. And, well, okay, it'll be a wall, a really high one, 20 foot higher, but with a door. We're kicking them all out. A few can stay. I mean, I want somebody to be consistent, secure the border, get rid of the people. But regardless of that, he should be doing what he said he was going to do.
Well, we ask that of all the
absolutely
presidents who run to follow through on what
they
promised.
So now you're not building the wall and all of this. So I ripped on him earlier. But there is some good news, and I'm being serious about this.
Okay.
During the Obama administration, one of the lesser important things that really just stuck in my craw and got under my skin was the food police.
Oh, the Michelle Obama initiative and the healthy meals in schools and all that?
Son of a gun, does that drive me up the wall. Number one, it was during an era when you had people like Mayor Bloomberg cutting salts and you can't have salt shakers
soda
on the table and all of that.
Limiting sizes of sodas.
It's not your business to be involved in business or in the business of what I consume. These are the same people who tell me, a woman's right to choose whether or not she can abort, even by their term, a fetus, but I can't decide whether or not to drink 20 ounces of soda?
Yeah.
I mean, so honest to God, even if you're saying it's not a baby, it's a fetus, you don't think abortion is more serious than 21 ounces of soda?
It's just the thinking just doesn't make any
sense. Right, do you
see
what I'm saying, though? I mean, you argue this choice thing, and I don't have a choice for 21 ounces of soda. So this is the attitude they had. And then you're right. Michelle Obama comes out, not elected to office.
Nope.
And spearheads this crap where she uses the power of her president's office, of her husband's office, to put the pressure on schools and also the food industry, to change all of their policies.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're doing it for the right reason, you're doing the wrong things because that's not your job and you shouldn't do it.
It's not personal choice.
The Trump administration is changing some of those things already.
All right.
The new agriculture secretary, Sonny Perdue, he unveiled some new interim rules. This was Monday, to suspend sodium reduction requirements and the whole grain requirements in school lunches. Also, the 1% fat flavored milk is coming back into schools. Okay. 1% and flavored milk's
pizza
back into schools.
Pizza and fries again. Yes.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. The lunches they were serving were not healthy.
No.
Number one, in order to reach the requirements, because schools still have budget restrictions, you know, it's not like you can just say, we're going to hire Jamie Oliver to come in and cook for the children every day and pay $1 million in unlimited funds for supplies.
Right.
You don't. They still have very limited funds to be able to sell those lunches for, you know, $3 or whatever it is now. So they end up serving all of this bizarre stuff that wasn't the healthiest. And number two, the kids weren't eating it anyways.
They'd get in, they'd throw it out.
The waste skyrocketed. Did you see the reports on the waste?
Yeah.
It was like 80% waste.
Yeah.
So
more than half the food ended up in the garbage.
Yeah. So they didn't come anywhere near reaching their goals of kids are eating healthier. So why the hell not at least go back to the other thing? At least they were eating something.
Right.
Not wasting it.
It wasn't costing as much.
Yeah, and it wasn't costing because the prices went up.
Right.
Because they were throwing the lunches out and stuff. It was incredible how backwards it was.
It had the exact opposite effect.
100%. And also some other detrimental effects.
Right.
So Trump's saying, okay, his guy, Sonny Perdue, said, we're going to suspend the sodium reduction requirements so you can put higher salt contents. And you don't have to have the whole grain requirements. And we can finally have 1% flavored milk back in the schools.
Yeah. Flavored milk?
Chocolate.
Chocolate milk. Okay.
This chocolate milk became one of the whipping boys for the food for the progressives. It's got sugar in it, Cal. It's milk with sugar and flavoring. Kids don't need that.
No, they don't. But it's
in their peanut-sized brains. They thought, if we just get rid of the flavored milk, then kids will drink the milk without the sugar in it. It'll be much, much healthier. Guess what? They didn't drink the regular milk. They didn't drink anything. Or they drank juice or whatever.
Or
they brought something from home. It didn't cause them to drink milk.
Right.
And a lot of people made this argument. At least they were drinking the milk. Milk is really good for you and it's really good for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you get in some fat issues if you have full milk. But if you have a healthy lifestyle and you're not eating all the other junk, it's fine. Like a lot of people over the last 200 years, hundreds, thousands of years have known. And the sugar in chocolate milk, again, if you're not having 6 candy bars later today and eating at McDonald's and all this other stuff, a little bit of sugar in the chocolate milk is not going to hurt you.
Right.
At least you were drinking the milk.
Yeah.
It's the little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down.
And I don't know if you know this. I mean, most kids, I mean, I have a kid, so getting them to eat what you want them to eat is
so hard.
Almost impossible. They'd rather not eat. So when you try to give them, force them this, you know, this choice of either the milk or the no chocolate, they're just not going to drink anything. Or they'll just bring something else. So it doesn't work.
Right. I mean, again, nothing wrong with some of that stuff. And it's all priorities and moderation. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want the kids to not have any milk, throw all of their lunches away, not eat at all, pack stuff from home, which, by the way, if they're packing their lunches and you don't have great oversight at home, what are they taking? You know what I mean? It's right. Fail, fail, fail. Or, oh, they got a little bit of sugar in the chocolate milk every day. Sonny Perdue said, I wouldn't be as big as I am today without chocolate milk.
I am today, thanks to chocolate milk. I'd like to thank chocolate milk for all my successes and accomplishments.
He also said, we're not winding back any standards at all. We're just slowing down the process. I applaud former First Lady Michelle Obama for addressing these obesity problems in the past. But what they're going to do is change the standards in the future. They're working on a new standards policy for all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But right now they've rolled back some of the stuff that they did. So good.
Good, yeah. I mean, because when I was a kid, we just ate whatever we wanted anyway.
How about this? And I'm just spitballing here.
Okay.
Because I'm on the verge of, I think it could be a pretty solid idea.
All right.
We're talking about lunches, kids lunch, whatever. How about this? How about the federal government back the F off completely?
Now you're talking crazy.
How about that?
Now you're talking crazy.
How about the federal government says, It's not the job of the federal government to tell local schools
what to feed
and parents what to feed their kids.
I would say you're making sense, but we live in a world that, you know, doesn't really appreciate that so much.
I'm wondering if maybe the federal government doesn't even give guidelines because it's not their job. I reluctantly will take their little suggestions. Reluctantly.
The food pyramid?
Food pyramid and whatever, which, by the way, has changed multiple times.
Because it's wrong.
Right. It was all this for a while, stuff. Anyways, I will reluctantly take their suggestions, but the federal government shouldn't say a single solitary thing, waste 1 second or 1 cent on what children are eating in local school districts. Your state, on the other hand, may have some say.
Yes.
But your state then should automatically defer to your local school district. And your local school district, when they're saying, we will have standards that would... I'm sorry, you're right. Let's ask the parents.
Yeah, there you go. How about we ask the parents? Aren't you paying, too, as parents, through your taxes for this?
Absolutely.
For your local taxes?
You're paying it to subsidize to keep those lunches cheap. You're paying for the workers to create it. You're paying for the school, all of this stuff. It's all there. Knock it off. Ask the parents. And community standards should absolutely rule with this stuff. It's insane. And by the way, parents can still, at this point, pack whatever the hell they want. And by the way, even if they're eating Uber, you will eat healthy at school. You will only have the carrot sticks. When you go home, parents can feed you whatever they want.
Yep.
It makes no sense. Get out, federal government. Stop funding. Stop subsidizing. Stop telling. Stop redistributing the wealth. Get out of the business.
Get out of the way.
The federal government doesn't have enough stuff to worry about. How about that? How about that?
Just a little bit, just a little bit.
North Korea, Iran, Syria, every other country, foreign policy,
economy,
space aliens,
jobs,
the economy, jobs. I mean, all
Ebola.
Of this stuff, right? Yeah, health and all that. You don't have enough to worry about.
You
got corruption all over the place. Waste, fraud.
Overspending.
$20 trillion in debt. You know what?
Yeah, they're so worried about the kids and
right.
their health. What about the debt that these kids are going to inherit in the next 20, 30, 50 years?
But you know what they're saying? You know what? I think we can do more. I think we can also
I think they need to eat
food pyramid.
Kale chips.
Right.
Kale chips and sweet potato fries. Baked.
Imagine you're the president. You come in, think of it like a CEO type position, and you come in and you're like, you know what? I need to be involved in all of this other stuff, too.
Let's add more crap to my
More stuff I have to worry about. I would be happy to go, okay, that's one we don't have to worry about. Take it off the list, shred that paper, close
School
it down.
Lunch is not my problem.
I'm going to focus on the economy and whatnot. Unbelievable. Hey, if you're somebody that suffers from chronic pain and you've tried a bunch of narcotics and you still live with this stuff, and they're not having the same effects they used to, and you're dealing with the side effects, why not try Relief Factor? This is something I have used, Cal has used, a lot of people around here, thousands of Blaze audience members, because it works. It deals with the inflammation in your body. It's not masking the pain like narcotics. I've done it, used it for my sciatic, Cal with his back, and the bottom line, it works. It's worked for us. It
truly does.
It takes a few days to get in your system for the inflammation to slowly subside. 7 to 10 days, most people, you're good to go. You can get a 3-week quick start pack. That's good for 21 days for just $19.95. You can try it for under $20 for something that you may have been searching for this whole time and still dealing with the pain. $19.95. Just call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com. It works.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Oh! Right. Friday. That is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned D.C. legislation is like an iceberg, big, hidden, and deadly.
Hello.
We learned technology is really making it difficult for people to murder their wives.
Seriously, oh, yeah.
So I mean, it's frustrating.
To be helpful, not like, really at
upsides
all.
And downsides.
Well, we do
tech.
Know a murderer. He's right behind you.
That
so
is
careful.
True. Well, hey,
watch your back.
Future murderer.
Future murderer.
We learned that funeral services for the Waffle House co-founder will include him being scattered, diced, topped, chunked, all of that.
We're not going to lunch him like Johnny Depp did yesterday?
No, not for $5 million. Okay. Not for $5 million. Cal, spinning the dials, radio-style dials, text this morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned Hillary Clinton takes responsibility for her failed election that was James Comey's fault.
It's and not, WikiLeaks.
And WikiLeaks.
In Russia.
I learned Kirk likes Zero Bars so much he took us off the air when we dissed him. I mean, I know it's good.
He loves candy.
Not that good.
CEO over here.
Loves him some Zero Bar.
If you're going to propose at a public event like a baseball game, make sure she's going to say yes. That's a big what I learned.
Yeah, but then it's not a surprise.
Well, at least kind of gauge the situation.
Gauge your level of surprise, too. You know, what you really want. All right, Kirk, spin of the dials, radio style in Dallas, text morning. What, if anything, do you learn today?
What I learned today, and this is in response to the tweet of worst of spots, my golden retriever Cooper could do a way better job than me. Don't give me that much credit.
All right, at Real Chris Cruz on Twitter, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned that Cal's be the designated DD while we're in Kentucky this weekend.
Cal's driving all over.
All the time.
That means is me, you, Brad are going to be drunk for like 36 hours straight. And Chef Brad is drunk for like 36, 48 hours.
I mean, Boundary straight. Oaks Distillery is inviting us to, at the Patent Armor Diesel, tons of it going to be pouring all over the place. You guys.
All I say is going to be good radio. Good
exactly.
radio.
Exactly. You never know what you're going to get. What, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
We got Nate H. learning. They can take my gun when they pry it out of my Bernie sticking hands.
His glue gun?
His glue gun.
His glue gun, yeah. Slip Shift also learning. What's sad is that the cat video is the best idea that I ever had.
Mm-hmm. The government. Trust me, we're going to stop Russia with cat videos.
DM and DM also learning. If you need to know all about crab, just ask Jeffy. He's the expert on crabs.
Well, golden crabs, your brown king crabs. He has them all.
He's got all kinds of crabs.
The blah blah blah.
Love the blah blah blah.
Is someone bothered by the word assimilate? Just bug him further by saying assimilate.
Assimilate. Oh, that's a good idea. Just kind of put like a little.
Yeah.
And I got it.
Laura D. Listener number 9. That moment when Doc Thompson forget he's a radio show host coming up against a hard break. Radio excellence.
Hey, I take full responsibility for that it was Kirk's fault.
Yeah.
Full
yeah.
responsibility.
JR15 also learning, you said Zero Bar was the top 25 and Glenn Beck pulled the plug. Mm-hmm. Pull the plug.
He's a big fan as well. Hey, I didn't get those new numbers on procrastination. Can we do them tomorrow?
We could do it tomorrow because we'll be the Boundary Oak.
Okay,
and
good.
It's perfect for that.
What does Glenn have coming up on his radio broadcast today?
Paul Kengor, author of the book A Pope and a President, coming up.
What is Glenn wearing today?
Paisley. Head to toe, Paisley. He's pulling it off, too. It looks good.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Remember, The Morning Blaze is a Today Chris Cruz production. Sic Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Now, you go home.
Zero Bar sucks, man. I don't care what you say.
Maybe we should try those.
Yeah?
Sample on the way.
Give me a Kit Kat right now.
Let's go to 7-Eleven. All right, let's go.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.